Good afternoon. This is our 10th class, Eshir HaAsiri. This is our final class on the subject of the Talmud, Eretz Yisrael, and Rav Kook. And today, we'd like to look at, I think it's probably one of the most important of the teachings that Rav Kook has in the Talmud, on where he directly addresses the subject of Yishuv Haaretz, in terms of the addressing some of the political aspects and some of the big questions that came up in the process of his perspective on understanding the development of the return of the Jewish people to the land of Israel. And so he does this from a very interesting place. If you look in the Torah, in Parashat Ekev, the Torah describes for us there the greatness of Eretz Yisrael. And specifically, the Shivat Haminim, the seven different species which Eretz Yisrael is blessed with. And the Torah says, Eretz Chita, Useora, V'Gefen, Uteena, V'Rimon, Eretz Zeis Shemen, Udvash. Eretz Yisrael is a land that's blessed with wheat and barley and grapes and figs and pomegranates. And then the Torah repeats again, Eretz, it's a land, Zeit Shemen Udvash, of olives which have oil, Udvash is and honey, which means dates, referring to date honey. But an analysis of the pasuk, it doesn't require much, but you can see that the Torah uses the word Eretz twice. Eretz, Chita Usaora, V'Gefen Uteena V'Rimon, and then again, Eretz, Zeit Shemen Udvash. So there's an interesting discussion in the Talmud. You can see on the top, if you have the handout, it's the page that says Mem Aleph. It's Brachot Mem Aleph. The Talmud tells us, Rav Chisda v'Rav Amnuna have yatvei b'seudata. Rav Chisda and Rav Amnuna were sitting at a meal. Aitu lekamayu, and they brought before them tamrei v'rimonei. They brought dates and pomegranates. Those were the two options at the meal. Shakal Rav Amnuna. Rav Amnuna took first baruch atamra bereisha, and he made the blessing on the date. Hu asa et habracha, hu berach al hatamar. He made the bracha on the date and not on the pomegranate. Amalo Rav Chisda, so Rav Chisda said to him, Lo svira lemar, does not the master agree? Lahada amar Rav Yosef, yitemi Rabbi Yitzchak, what Rabbi Yosef or Rabbi Yitzchak said, kalamukdam bepasuk ze, kodem livracha, that the earlier in the pasuk that any fruit appears, the earlier the bracha, which would mean, if you have a grape, and you have a fig, and you have a pomegranate, because the Torah says, Gefen, then Te'ena, then Rimon, the Gefen is the one that you should make the bracha on. It's the most important, because it's earlier in the Pasuk. So you have a Rimon, and you have a Tamar, so you should make the bracha on the Rimon first. Amar Le, he said to him, no, it's not when you are first in the Pasuk. It's how close you are to the word Aretz. Ze sheni la Aretz. Tamar, as it says, Eretz zeit shemen, which is olives, udvash, which is dates. So dates is two after the word Eretz. Veze, but Rimon, chamishi la Aretz, is the fifth from Aretz. And therefore, the Tamar gets the bracha before the Rimon. Amar Lei, so he said back to him, Man Yahiv Lan Nagra de Parzala, who would give me iron feet so that I can follow you wherever you go, V'nashmi Inach, and learn from you. The point of this state of the Talmud, let's make this very clear, is that the Torah says, Eretz, Chita Saora Gefen Te'ena Rimon, Eretz, Zeit Shemen Udvash. So what we say is not the earlier in the pasuk, but the closer something is to the word Eretz, that decides its order in bracha. So actually, you first make a bracha on Zeitim, then on Tamarim, first on olives, then on dates, then on Geffen, Te'ena, and Rimon. And the question is an obvious question. If the Torah wants you to first do Zeitim and Tamarim, and then Geffen, Te'ena, and Rimon, the Torah should have said, Chita Usa'ora, Zeit Shemen Udvash, Geffen, Te'ena, Rimon. Why does the Torah say, no, Chita Sa'ora, Geffen Te'ena Rimon, then repeat the word Eretz, and then add Zeit Shemen Udvash? That's the question, and that's what Rav Kook is going to be addressing in this Torah. Says Rav Kook. Yeah, so far, any questions on what I said? Okay. Says Rav Kook, Kishem Shehabrachot Atzman, Mi'irot et halavavot ledeot yisharot. Making a bracha before you eat is an inspiration to make you a better person. To deot yisharot. Shehen, because making a bracha before you eat or before you do anything, is the avot l'ma'asim yisharim u'midot tovot. And the reason is, because what's a bracha? A bracha means that everything that you take in your hand to benefit from, you think about it. You think about it and you think about where it comes from and you appreciate it. So for example, there are people who don't eat at all, who eat whatever food they want. If you don't make a bracha, you just stuff your face and you can do 100 different things while you're eating. But if you have to stop and think about, well, what bracha do I make on this? So you have to think about, where does this fruit come from? It comes from a tree. And you think about the tree, it gives you a different perspective on everything you're doing in life. And not just, you know, we make brachot not just on food, but if you see thunder and lightning, and if you see amazing experiences, if someone crosses the sea, if a person sees a shooting star, you have to make a bracha, thanking Hashem for the wonders of creation. That's because a bracha makes you think about what's going on in life and makes you a better person. That's, Rav Kook says that, that's true in general. But gam kein pratehem, but if you look at the details, lehilchotahem of the laws, benuyim, they're also built, al pidrachim mefulashim lemidot tovot v'yikarot, they also create paths to make you a better person. In other words, not just the brachot in general, but if you look at the specific laws of the brachot, it also teaches you how to be a better person. V'ikarei Torah be'emunot v'deot, and it teaches you the proper faith and belief in the Torah. What does he mean? He says like this. And here he goes, he dives straight in. Ba'asher chibat arzenu hakadosha, hi yisoda shel Torah. Eretz Yisrael and Chibat Eretz Yisrael, meaning the love of Eretz Yisrael, he yisoda shel Torah. It is a fundamental principle of the Torah. Why? Shehi, because Eretz Yisrael mevi'ah, brings at klal am Hashem, the Jewish people, uchlal ha'olam kulo, and the whole world, lahashlamatam, to its perfect state. That means Eretz Yisrael, interesting that he says, it brings not just the Jewish people, but the whole world is better when Eretz Yisrael is the way Eretz Yisrael is supposed to be. Al kein, mechubarim heim inyanei habrachot v'agdamatam b'smichatam la'aretz shebetorah. This is why when the Torah says Eretz, chita usa'ora, gefen te'ena v'rimon Eretz, Zeit Shemen and Dvash. The closer that a word, that a fruit appears to the word Aretz, the more it's connected to Eretz Yisrael, that's why it comes first in the bracha. If you're going to make a bracha, you take the fruit that's closest to the word Eretz, because the love of Eretz Yisrael is what's creating this bracha. is what's creating the precedent why this fruit gets the blessing first. Lahorot, to teach you.
I have a question. Lemashal achita iba achrei eretz arishon.
You're right. That's why. But chita and sora, we make a borei mina mezonot. So because it's a different bracha, it always comes first. You're right. Chita and sora always comes first. And the halacha is, if you're going to eat chita and you're going to eat sora, you have to make the bracha on the chita before the sora. I'm just focused more on the fruits, so I'm kind of leaving those two out. So in the fruits, which are borei pri ha'etz, instead of going in the order of the Torah, which is Geffen te'ena rimon zeitim tamarim, instead we go according to what's closer to Eretz, so we actually make the bracha first on the zeitim, then the tamarim, then the Geffen te'ena rimon. And he's explaining, because the word Eretz represents the land of Eretz Yisrael. And the closer something is to the word Eretz, the holier it is, to teach you, Kikal ha-karov, karov yoter la-aretz, because when you are closer to Aretz, you're also more special. Right? That's the brilliance of Rav Kook. He's telling you that the halacha, which is that the fruit which appears closer to the word Aretz, gets the bracha first, to teach you that when you are closer to Aretz, when you're closer to Eretz Yisrael, you get more bracha. And then he spells it out. Mi sheyesh lo yoter ahava la'aretz, anyone who has more love for Eretz Yisrael, v'yoter hishtadlut b'inyan yishuv artzenu hakadosha, and the more effort that someone puts in to develop the population of Eretz Yisrael, the settlement of Eretz Yisrael, hu mukdam levracha, that person gets the greater blessing. And you have more access to the blessings that come from Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so that's pretty clear. He's the simple idea that whatever's closer to the word Aretz gets the bracha first because it means you're closer to Eretz Yisrael. But he says, Ubasher chibata Aretz, the love for Eretz Yisrael, mechuleketi. There's different kinds. It divides. Lefi ma'alat ha'anashim va'akaratam, different people have a different level of understanding of the greatness of Eretz Yisrael and what it's about. And so he says like this: Ki yesh, there are those shemechabev artzenu akadosha b'shvil skulateha hayikarot. Some people love Eretz Yisrael because it's a holy land. They love Eretz Yisrael because it's a spiritual land. They love Eretz Yisrael because it's the land of God. So the person loves even the stones and the dust of Eretz Yisrael. Because in Eretz Yisrael you could do more mitzvot. In Eretz Yisrael you're closer to God. So these people, they love Eretz Yisrael because of the great spiritual benefit to the Jewish people and to the whole world. Now, who's he referring to here? So here he would be referring more to what we would refer to as religious Zionists, or what he would refer to as religious Zionists, which is people who love Eretz Yisrael because of their understanding of the Torah and their connection to God. But he says, V'yesh, but there's some people. Mi shemechabev artzenu akdosha, there are people who love Eretz Yisrael, v'yishtadel b'yeshuva u'bedirata, and they will put an effort to settle Eretz Yisrael and to live in Eretz Yisrael, not because of any holy reasons. B'shvil shemakir ba'atachlit shel ha'menucha ha'chomrit l'chlal Yisrael. There are some people who they love Eretz Yisrael, not because of any spiritual reasons, but because they see in Eretz Yisrael an opportunity for the Jewish people to live a comfortable life. If you recall, we discussed this in a previous class, but I think you all know a little bit of the history of Eretz Yisrael. Some of the early leaders of the Zionist movement in Europe were not only not religious, but many of them were against religion, but they still wanted Eretz Yisrael to be the land of the Jewish people because they felt that anti-Semitism in Europe was becoming too much. It was dangerous to live in Europe, as you know, for example, Herzl came from the Dreyfus affair, and that whole process led him to realize that as long as the Jewish people are living in diaspora, in exile, amongst the nations of the world, we are subject to the whim of their feelings. And at any point, they can turn against us, as we can see what happened in Germany in the 1930s. Suddenly, a nation that was so nice to us, is what it seemed like, suddenly they turned on us and tried to wipe us out. So many of the early Zionists wanted there should be a state of Israel just for practical reasons. And in fact, this was one of the harshest criticisms laid out against Rav Kook, was the fact that there were the many of the religious Jews were saying this whole movement is being led by people who don't care about Eretz Yisrael because of spiritual reasons. How could you join with them and make a movement with people who only want Eretz Yisrael for practical purposes, for safety and security? Says Rav Kook, here are these words, Shugam kein davar tov nisgav. He says, you're wrong to these people. It's also a good thing to love Eretz Yisrael, even if it's for practical purposes, even if there's no spiritual reasons behind it. Just because it's a land where the Jews can live in safety and security from the rest of the world, says Rav Kook, that's not a negative, that's not a bad thing. Is there a davar tov v'nisgav? U'b'cholzeh, Loba ad hamala harishona, says Rav Kook. I agree. It's not on the same level as someone who loves Eretz Yisrael because it's the land of God and the land of the Torah and the land of the Jewish people. I agree. It's not the same level. Lemisha makir yesoda tachlita elyona shebechibat haaretz. If you know the real reason for the love of Eretz Yisrael, that's a much higher reason. But someone who loves Eretz Yisrael, even if it's just because they like the way the land looks and they like the fact that it's a Jewish state, even with no spiritual understanding behind it, says Rav Kook, that's also a mitzvah. The davar tov v'nisgav. Says Rav Kook, let me say it outside, then we'll read it inside. He says, that's why the Torah splits the word Eretz twice. Eretz chita usora gefen te'ena v'rimon refers to the first kind of Jews who love Eretz Yisrael because of spiritual reasons. The second Eretz, Eretz zeit shemen udvash, refers to the Jews who love Eretz Yisrael not for any religious reasons, just because it's the land of the Jews where we have our own military force and we have our own government and we have our own social services, where we have our own all that, says Rav Kook, is going to be the second Eretz zeit shemen udvash. Alkein ramuz b'pasuk kiruv abrachot la'aretz b'shtei marachot. That's why the Torah divides them into two. Chamisha minim, the first five, chita sora gefen te'ene v'rimon, neged ha'ishtokukut la'aretz ba'ofen ha'elyona mu'ula. That's the higher level of connection to Eretz Yisrael. Mechuvanim neged chamisha chumshei Torah. That's why there's five of them, because that corresponds with the five books of the Torah. Shehem, because the Torah is Yesod HaShlama HaYisraelit, is the foundation of the completion of a Jew. Umimena Nimshechet HaShlama HaAnushit, and from there comes the human completion, the human perfection. V'chol HaMukdam Behem V'karov Yotei La'aretz Mukdam LeBracha. So Chita comes before Seora, which comes before Gefen, which comes before Te'ena, which comes before Rimon, and they represent five different levels of connection to Eretz Yisrael on a spiritual level. V'achelek HaSheni, then the Torah lists a second group. Eretz Zeit Shemen Udvash. Neged HaMakirim HaHashlama HaTivit shall call Yisrael ba'aretz. That corresponds with the people who see a natural a nature completion of the Jewish people. A land where the Jewish people can be independent and live securely with their, protecting themselves. Bashlamatam haruchanita tivit. The completion of their spiritual nature in the natural sense. Kara'uy l'chal am gadol v'chacham beruach u'bechomer. Meaning national pride of the Jewish people, even without any spiritual element. Let me emphasize this. I want to make a big deal about this, because this is very, very different than the way some people believe. There are people who believe that the Jewish connection to the land of Eretz Yisrael is only a spiritual connection, and that those who have a natural world connection, those who have just a practical connection, many people see that as a negative. What Rav Kook is doing is he's not just saying it's not negative. He's saying the Torah included those people. When the Torah split Eretz between the first five and then says again, Eretz, Zeit Shemen u'Devash, the Torah is giving the word Eretz, and then Zeit Shemen u'Devash refers to Jews who have no connection to the spiritual aspect of the land, and they are being included in the Torah and being given a bracha. Which means that the people who criticized Rav Kook for joining with all these non-religious and even anti-religious founders of Zionism, and they said to him, "You're doing a bad thing by joining with these people, because their desire for Eretz Yisrael is not a good kind." Where Rav Kook disagrees with them again. He's disagreeing with them to the complete opposite. He's saying not only are they not bad, but they're good, because loving Eretz Yisrael, even for practical purposes, entitles you to a bracha, and you're included in the psukim in the Torah. Says Rav Kook, V'lamadnu mikan, we learn from this, kama gedola hi, how great it is, ha'mala, shel mi shemishtokek liyashev artzenu ha'kedusha, someone who wants to develop our land, afilu l'shem tachlit ha'chumrit shel ha'klal, even if it's only for physical, practical purposes. So he would refer to the individuals who others would call Rasha'im, wicked people. He wouldn't say only that they're not Rasha'im. He may even go and call them Tzadikim, because they are working on the development of the land of Israel, regardless of what the motivation behind it is. Although it is interesting that he does say it has to be shel haklal. In other words, anyone who's doing it for selfish purposes, that doesn't count. But if you're doing it to save the Jewish people from anti-Semitism, to save the Jewish people from assimilation, to save the Jewish people from dependence on other nations, then you're a tzaddik. Why? Ki etzel haklal yahapech tamid kol inyan gashmi leruchani, because whenever you have the whole Jewish people in mind, it's automatically a spiritual endeavor. Where even if you have no spiritual intentions, if you're trying to save the Jewish people, that's a spiritual concept, and therefore you are performing a mitzvah and doing a great thing. Ba'tachlit ha'elyona, furthermore, you're leading to the completion of the world. Kiz hatachlit elyona, the highest level that the world can achieve, bo tavo, is only going to come ayde chibur am Hashem be'eretz Hashem. Only when the Jewish people are living in Eretz Yisrael and developing the land of Eretz Yisrael, that's how the world is going to become a better place. And so if you are helping that happen, then you are performing a mitzvah. And so he would consider, I don't know if they use the term, the founding fathers of Eretz Yisrael, he would consider all of them to be osek b'malechet Hashem. They're all doing God's work. I don't have to explain to you how Rav Kook's opponents would have found all of this almost offensive, right? I think that's pretty obvious. They would say, how could this be? These are people, they don't keep Shabbat, they don't, you know, these kinds of arguments. He goes, they're still doing a mitzvah. They're developing the land of Eretz Yisrael. So regardless of everything else, they are included in the Torah.
Okay? אני רק רוצה להגיד שיש הבדל בין הרצל לציונים האחרים. הרצל הסכים לא לבוא לארץ ישראל, לבוא לאוגנדה, כי הוא רצה מקום בטוח, אבל האחרים, שרובם למדו בישיבות והתפקרו, רצו את ארץ ישראל ורצו שהדגל ייראה כמו פליט.
Right.
זאת אומרת שרוב הציונים שדגלו בארץ ישראל, היה להם בסיס של יהדות.
Right. Right. Now, I agree with you. I think that's an important point to make, is that you could see that some of them were really not connected to Eretz Yisrael so much. It was more, some of them wanted Uganda. You're right. But I don't think Rav Kook would necessarily say that that takes away from them. In other words, even if they would have agreed to go to another nation, the fact that in the end it does work out to be Eretz Yisrael, and they brought it about, so they receive the bracha of the word Eretz of the Torah, even if they had negative intentions. That's what he's saying. As long as your goal was the Klal Yisrael, that elevates your actions. But I think you are right, and I should point that out. I think it's important to mention. What you're suggesting is that many of the people who are part of this, the reason why they chose Eretz Yisrael and they refused to go with Uganda was because they did have that spark of the Jew inside of them that was connecting them to holiness. So, but still, they were sinful. They were anti-religious. So the other rabbis said, you can't connect to such people. You can't associate with such people. You can't use something that's being created by these people as something that's the will of God. Why would God use these sinners to build his land? This was what Rav Kook was hearing from his opponents. And where Rav Kook is answering them here, he's saying that that's not true. God loves these people because they are developing the land of Israel, even if they're not doing it for a religious purpose, they are included in the bracha of this verse in the Torah. I think it's obvious to everyone why people would disagree with this teaching of Rav Kook, but we're not learning those opinions. We're learning Rav Kook's opinion, and Rav Kook is very strong about it, and Rav Kook is going to take this even higher. Al-Kain. Mi sheyesh lo kurva yetera la'artzenu ha-kadosha. Someone who has a stronger connection to Eretz Yisrael. Afilu b'madrega ha-nemucha, even on the lower level, yesh lanu l'chazko u'la'amtso u'la'agdimo b'vracha mimi shemitacher u'mitrachek. Let's say this very clearly because it's such a beautiful teaching. The Torah says, Eretz chita u'sa'ora gefen te'ena rimon. Gefen is 3, te'ena is 4, and rimon is 5. Then the Torah says again, Eretz, Zayit Shemen Udvash. Zayit is 1, and the Tamarim are 2. The Geffen represents someone who has a higher level of connection to God, but level 3. And the Tamarim represents someone who has a lower level of connection to God, number 2. What we're saying is that someone who has a lower level of connection to Eretz Yisrael, meaning that they only want Eretz Yisrael because they want to be safe. They want no religion in the land. They want no recognition of Judaism in the land. All they want is a land where the Jews can be safe. That's all they want. Says Rav Kook, not only are they included in the Torah, but they're even higher than the people who have a religious perspective in the land, but it's not such a powerful connection. That means, he's saying, that if you take I'm just going to use Herzl. I'm going to assume Herzl is someone that you can use in this example. Rav Kook doesn't mention Herzl here, but let's use Herzl. Herzl was someone who was anti-religious, but he loved the Holy Land, Eretz Yisrael. Again, let's get past the other issues about Uganda and all that. So he's saying Herzl is even higher than the religious Jew who loves Eretz Yisrael, but not as much as him. It means we're measuring your love for Eretz Yisrael no matter what reason, and if you have a love for Eretz Yisrael that's even just for practical purposes, if it's a stronger love than the religious person, then you're on a higher level. So he says, Afilu shebetoch halev, even if in the heart, even inside, the person who doesn't have such a strong connection to Eretz Yisrael, but the connection that he has is a strong religious one, Mikam makom yeshuva aretz, just settling the land, v'chibata, and loving the land, b'poel, in practical levels, hu davar nisgav, is something special. Now, how do we know this? How does Rav Kook know this? How does Rav Kook know that a wicked person who loves Eretz Yisrael is higher than a observant person who is not so doesn't love Eretz Yisrael so much? So he says, "Kma she'amru Chazal al Omri." Our sages say about Omri. Omri was one of the kings of the northern kingdom. You don't know, unless you know Tanakh very well, you don't know much about Omri, but you know his son, Omri's son was Ahav. I'm sure everyone is familiar with Ahav. Right? So Ahav's father, Omri, was king for a very long time. Says the Talmud, Omri was a wicked person, he was an evil person. Why did he get to be king so long? Says the Talmud, "Shezachal lemalchut b'shvil shehosif ir achat be'eretz Yisrael," because he built the city of Shomron. Shomron would become the capital city of the northern kingdom, and Omri built the city of Shomron. And because he built the city of Shomron, he was king for a long time, and his son was king for a long time, and his grandson was king for a long time, and his great grandson was king. All this because he built one city in Eretz Yisrael. Even though he was an Oved Avodah Zarah, he was an idol worshiper. Says the Talmud, even an idol worshiper, if he loves Eretz Yisrael and builds Eretz Yisrael, he gets Malchut. His was not a spiritual, he wasn't trying to build the land of God. He wanted to be the king in the capital city. But it doesn't matter. He built a city in Eretz Yisrael, and because of that he gets blessed. Says Rav Kook, from here I learn that all the religious founders of the state, you want to criticize them for their religious observance, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what their religious observance is. They built the state, and because they built the state, they merit the blessings of the Torah, of Eretz, Zeit Shemen, Udvash. So, v'yesh lanu limud. So he says we have a lesson here. Shetzarich l'chazek et hakochot hachumariyim shel klal ha'uma, that there's something about developing the physical state of the Jewish people. And this will allow for the spiritual development. So I'm not sure where he's pulling this out from, but what he is saying is that there's a practical purpose here as well. Because the fact is that if you don't have a running government, if you don't have an independent state, even the religious can't do what they're doing. Now, that's something that I'm not here to criticize, but the followers of Rav Kook certainly hold this to be a criticism of all the other people who don't support the land, but they make use of the land. Right? So you don't support the government and you complain about what they are, but yet you make use of the land. So he's saying you wouldn't have all the spiritual access that you had without the government. So you have all these yeshivot, all these schools. How are they safe? Who provides security for all the schools? Right, the Israeli government. So how can you criticize and look down at the Israeli government when they're the ones who are providing you with protection? That's what he's saying here. Without the physical, you wouldn't even have the spiritual. And that's what brings blessings to the physical as well. Al-Kein Amar Lahem, that's why he said, Ze Sheni La'aretz. So when they were eating the dates and the pomegranates, he made the bracha on the dates, because it's second to the word aretz. Afal pishu sheni la'aretz b'madrega hashniya. Even though it's the second aretz, it's the lower level of the appreciation of the land. Mikam makom hu kadum l'chamishi la'aretz shebamadrega harishana. It still comes before those who are on the fifth level of the higher level. Le'inyan haroshem shanutzrichim la'asot aleinu b'chibat ha'aretz, because it's about the effect that you have in the love of Eretz Yisrael. He repeats himself, af al pishu bal nefesh shvelak neged harishon. Even though, spiritually speaking, this is a very low person. Mikal makom pu'ulatav hagashmiyot, even your physical actions, mitkarvot la'matara rama, they approach a very high level. Al-Kain, mitoka chozek ha-chumri, you have a chozek nafshi ruchani, so by developing the physical, you come to the spiritual. Al-Kain omer lo ka-halacha v'ke-inyan. So that's why he told him. When this rabbi heard this teaching, he said, man yahiv lo nagra de parzel of nashmi inech, means, mi yiten lanu, who would give us chozek gufni, physical strength, v'koach chamri, and physical power, amitz kebarzel, mighty as iron, liot shrei haguf chazakim, that our body should be strong enough, v'nuchal lekabel mimcha shleimut ruchanit gedola kemidatcha. In other words, you should try to emulate those who have even the lower physical connection to Eretz Yisrael, and they appreciate the land even for its physical intentions. In other words, these people, they were fighting for the safety of the Jewish people. If only you had such a strong desire for the safety of the Jewish people. Because that would lead to the spiritual strength. That's why he said, "Mi yiten lanu, who would give us emtzaim chazakim, strong methods, l'chazek et atzad ha'gashmi v'achomri shel ha'klal, that we should be able to strengthen the Jewish people on a physical level." Benagre de parzeli means berechev barzel, with iron chariots, bebriche barzel, with iron iron pillars and hinges and poles, bekoach amitz v'guf chazak barzel, we should have iron physical strength. Litazer bigvura ulorumem keren beruach gevura. So he says, again, going back to this point, a soldier in the army of the state of Israel who has this physical strength and physical love for Eretz Yisrael, and he's willing to give his life for Eretz Yisrael, such a person has a more powerful and spiritual connection to Eretz Yisrael than even some religious people. And so while you look down at these people because they don't have the same religious perspective as you, says Rav Kook, they look down at you because you don't love the Holy Land in the way that they do. V'nashmi inech v'nelech b'darkecha, we will go in your ways. Ech liskot l'zeh al pi darko shel Torah ba'ava v'shalom. Now, Rav Kook addresses something that we haven't really seen him get into, and he's not going to go into it at length now. But we know, the Talmud tells us that the Jewish people have rules that they have to follow when they return to Eretz Yisrael. The Talmud says this in Masechet Ketubot. The Talmud says that the Jewish people are not allowed to, we've discussed this in the previous class, they're not allowed to be ole b'choma. We can't come up like a wall. And also, we're not supposed to rebel against the nations of the world. So we can't revolt against the exile. So he says, shelo la'alot b'choma, v'lo limrod b'umat ha'olam. Right? You're right, there are rules on how this should be done. And Rav Kook addresses this. He says, if the United Nations would not have, well, he's talking about the Balfour Declaration, but the same idea. If the United Nations would not have given the Jewish people a state, then there would be a problem. Because then the Jews taking the state would be a merida ba'umot ha'olam, it would be a rebellion against the rest of the world. But since the England and the Balfour Declaration, right, that's the England was at that time in charge of the area known then as Palestine, right, they were in charge, and they declared that the Jewish people should have their state, and later the rest of the world took a vote. There was a vote that was taken, and it came out that the Jewish people are going to be given their land. Who decided this? The whole world decided it. That the Jewish people can have their land. Says Rav Kook, then there's no merida. And there's no aliyah b'choma. We're not coming up with a wall. We're not invading. We didn't invade Eretz Yisrael. Says Rav Kook, that means we are following the rules. So we have to figure out how to do it properly. But if you do it properly, it brings you the connection to the land. If your intention is that the Jewish people should be strong, afilu gashmit. Right? He said this a number of times already, but he's saying it again. Afilu gashmit. It'll eventually lead us to the place where we will understand lo b'chayil. That's a pasuk in Zechariah. Well, eventually we will come to realize that it's not the army and it's not the power, but it's the power of God that's keeping this nation going. You know, at some point, especially say after the Six Day War, people began to there was a movement for teshuvah. That was one of the most powerful movements for Teshuvah in Jewish history, was after the Six-Day War, because even though many people started the Six-Day War not so religious, but then when they saw the events that occurred during the Six-Day War, mamash nisim v'niflaot, they said, one second, this doesn't make sense. And there have even been, they've done computer analysis of the Six-Day War, and there's no way the Jews win. There's no way that Israel survives. There's no practical way. And yet we did. So the Rav Kook is saying that eventually, when people realize how God's protection is on the land of Israel, then they will come to understand. Va'amar, and that's why the Pasuk says, Shabchi Yerushalayim et Hashem. Yerushalayim will praise God. Halali Elokayach Tzion. Give praise to the God of Tzion. Why? Ki chizak b'richei sharayach. Because he made the doorposts and the hinges on the doors, he made them strong. Berach banayich bikirbech, and he blessed your children within it. Hasam gvulech shalom, he puts peace to your boundaries. And chelev chitim yazbiech, and the fats of the wheat he will give you to be sated. This pasuk doesn't say because there will be many yeshivot. You will shavchi Yerushalayim because there's safety and there's security and there's peace and there's prosperity. And those are also powerful spiritual things. Now, obviously, someone who has both, if you have a connection to the land of Israel and a connection to the Torah, like Rav Kook, obviously that's the highest. But even without that, v'achotam ha-tachlit ha-baim mizeh be'achreach, and eventually it will lead to the place of Magid Dvarav LeYaakov, Chukav Mishpatav LeYisrael. That's in that same chapter in Tehillim. That's the end of this teaching of Rav Kook. But I want to just close off this series. We're finishing this series with some final thoughts here. What Rav Kook is showing us over and over again in all of these Torah that we see is that Eretz Yisrael is not just happenstance. It happens to be a land where the Jewish people live. This is where Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov lived. So God said, you know what, I'm going to give your children this land. There's something deeply different and special about Eretz Yisrael. So much so that even the physical elements of Eretz Yisrael become holy. Bringing computer IT industry to Eretz Israel is a mitzvah. Developing the economy of Eretz Israel is a mitzvah. And every element of Eretz Israel, every part of Eretz Israel, is a mitzvah. And so that's why he said you have to connect to it. And we started off one of our first classes, you have to go through some suffering. You have to go through some difficulty in the development of Eretz Israel. And the Jewish people did go through difficulty in the acquisition and the development of Eretz Israel. But he's saying that a Jew is not a Jew in the same way in Chutz La'aretz as in Eretz Israel. And so without Eretz Israel, we're missing so much. All the times that the Jews couldn't go to Eretz Israel and couldn't live in Eretz Israel, we were not the Jewish people in the way we're supposed to be the Jewish people. And it's only once we've regained and resettled the land of Israel, it's only once we connect the land and to the mitzvot in the land, Eretz Yisrael will make you a better person. Even if you're not necessarily learned in religious ways, just being in Eretz Yisrael and developing the land and taking a part in its building, that itself elevates you, makes you a better person, and eventually will make you also a more spiritual person. But Rav Kook insists that this is an obligation on every single Jew. If you love Eretz Yisrael, if you don't love Eretz Yisrael, you're missing something. And if you love Eretz Yisrael, you're going to do something towards its development. Whether it was in those days people providing financial support, actually moving there, people going to the land and working on the land. And there is an option, there's a way to be a Jew, and there's a way to be connected to God even outside of Eretz Yisrael. But don't be happy with that. Don't be happy with your connection to the Torah outside of Eretz Israel when you have the option of making it even stronger. Even without mitzvot of the Torah being kept in the way that it was kept in ancient times. Even today, when Eretz Israel, spiritually speaking, is not complete, we don't have the Beit HaMikdash, we don't even have all of the land. But nevertheless, being there and being connected to the land, and as we've seen a number of times him say, not so much about your actual location, but your feelings. That is your home. And if you don't feel like Eretz Yisrael is your home, not everyone lives at home. Sometimes you live in Galut. But you have to feel that Eretz Yisrael is your home. That's where you're rooted. That's your place. And if you feel that way, you are on a higher spiritual level, even if your home is only a safety security thing. You can be on an even higher spiritual level than people who are disconnected from the land, even if they keep all the rules of the Torah. Because Eretz Yisrael is the land of God, and it's the land of the Jewish people. And it's deeply, deeply rooted and connected to who we are and what we are. Place and time and person, they're all intertwined. God chose this land and embedded it with the holiness of the Torah and the holiness of the Jewish people. And it's there, and we have to try to connect to that and reach into that. Now, how do we get to it? Is it going to be natural? Is it going to be miraculous? How are we going to continue to develop the land? Rav Kook says there are many options for why that can happen and how that will happen. But each person individually has to work on themselves to try to analyze and look for their personal and national connection to Eretz Israel and develop it. And with that we will close. May all of us be zocha, that each of us should find our Dalad Amot in Eretz Israel, our place, for us to feel it and connect to it in a spiritual way, but even in a Gashmi way, in a physical way, but ultimately to lead to the time when all the Jewish people, v'shavuv anim legvulam, when all the Jewish people will return to their boundary, and when all the people will return, as we say, lachol al shulchan aviyam, to eat by their father's table, ba'atzenu akdosha, beviat goel tzedek, b'mehera b'yameinu. Amen.